Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this evening is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. My dear friends in Christ, Al Franken, Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, Kevin Spacey, all men caught allegedly doing evil things. North Korea, the opioid epidemic. Charles Manson was in the news again, even fidget spinners. The world seems to get worse and worse, or at least we're hearing about it more and more. What's there to be thankful for right now? Maybe your family's in disarray. Your kids haven't called in a long time. No one's coming to dinner tomorrow. People are fighting with one another. You can't make rent this month. What's there to be thankful for right now? Maybe you're focused on the congregation here. Giving is down. Attendance is down. Your friends might be gone. Some of them dead. Others just left. The same people do the same thing every year, every Sunday. The community is changing. It's not the same as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 160 years ago. What's there to be thankful for right now? Life is hard. And it gets harder. As a kid, I couldn't wait to be an adult because I thought an adult would get to do whatever he wanted. Can't believe I found out that there's even more responsibility as the days go on. There's no end to the difficulties that life brings us. And why? Because quite honestly, as long as there's sin in this world, we're going to be disturbed by the inability to do everything, anything, perfectly. We're going to suffer in this life. Both by sin, which we commit that has consequences for us, and by sin that others commit that has consequences for us. I mean, sin is always working in this life. We don't always get what we think that we need. People starve. People are dehydrated. People are forgotten in nursing homes. People live without love or friendship. People live on the streets. We don't always get what we think that we need. But our eyes are limited. I'm not saying that these things aren't horrible. They are. Does your Lord care for these? Even if he doesn't give them all of the same things that you have? Of course he does. But what our Lord has truly provided in this life is he promises no one health or wealth or happiness is the church. The place, the body of Christ that provides for all of her children. In the church, the true deep needs of the people are met. They're washed with the purest of water, cleansing them from their sin and bringing them to a life in which that cleansing water will wash away all disease. They're fed with life-giving bread and wine, a feast which has been seen nowhere else in the world, but in the life to come is going to be everywhere and always. They learn not just words on a page, but words of forgiveness and peace in their Lord Jesus Christ. Words that will echo from today and never stop. But we aren't totally at that day yet, are we? You ever notice that bad news piles up, right? Like when a beloved celebrity dies or even a friend dies, you always hear the same thing, right? Oh, you know, death always comes in threes. It seems like that bad news just keeps piling up. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Can't help but getting caught up in it. I've had people, even recently, come to me and say, Pastor, The world is getting darker. It's getting darker. I can't see the light anymore. I fear for the next generation, what they have to go through. I can't stop thinking about what's wrong out in the world. It's so much worse than when I was young. They can't stop thinking about it. But our Lord tells us to do something better. He calls us to something better. Paul today, speaking on behalf of Jesus, tells us that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's not to say that you shouldn't ignore the problems of the world. You shouldn't, especially if those problems might even come down to your checkbook. Pay attention to those things. But those things pale in comparison to the good that our Lord provides in all things. Our Lord gives us so many gifts, especially in word and sacrament. There's nothing better than these gifts of everlasting life. You hear me talk about these things every week because that's how important they are. These are the good gifts you know will always come to you. But He gives us also the gifts of this life. House and home and wife and children and land and animals, all of our goods, our reason, all of our senses, our eyes and ears, and all of our members. He provides for us from the air that we breathe to the water that we drink to the good that our neighbor does in bringing food to our table. Have you ever considered how many people it takes to get a loaf of bread to your table? From the person who grows the plants that make the seeds, who package the seeds, who deliver those to the farmers who plant them, to all the workers who harvest it, who take it to the mill, and the miller that makes his magic and gets that loaf of bread kind of get going. And then you've got the people who package that and then deliver it to the grocery store, and the person who stacks it onto the shelf. All of these people are doing good from God for you. Our Lord provides all of these things and all of these people so that we might find pleasure in all of His creation. And that way, when we see that which is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, we give thanks to God, asking that He might provide even more of these things. When we experience the trials and the tribulations of life, we must learn to be content in all things. It's not that we won't be uncomfortable. It's not that we won't even experience persecution leading to death, but that whatever comes from the hand of the Lord, whether it is good in our eyes or evil, we can accept it as good for us. We can persevere in all things. That's what Paul means, by the way, when he says that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And this drives me crazy, and I see it all of the time. This does not mean that you can go out and run a marathon because Christ strengthens you. Doesn't mean that you can get a team going on a mission trip and everybody come home safely and even more in love with Jesus because He strengthens you. It means that no matter what you're going through, no matter what comes, good or evil to our eyes, our Lord will give you the strength to endure until the day He takes you home. This doesn't mean that you're going to get through this unscathed. Doesn't even mean that you're going to get through it alive. But whatever the trial, we give thanks to God in our Lord Jesus Christ that because our Savior died for the forgiveness of your sins and rose for your justification, that you will open your eyes and see the Lord. You will be raised from the dead as He is raised from the dead. The trials of this life, even the trials that you bring upon yourself through your own sin, all serve to bring you one step closer to that day of resurrection. Can you be content in that? I do hope that we are all endeavoring to learn. Whatever it is, our Lord brings us through it. Not into health, not into wealth, not into happiness based on desire, but through it and into eternal life. And because of that, we give thanks to our Lord. We pray, we praise, we give thanks. And what then? Well, because we're joined together into the body of Christ, we look for ways to see what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. We support that. And when we find that in those we love, we support them. We lift each other up. We come alongside one another. We work to help one another. And if you can't help each other in what we think of as these tangible ways, you know, like if someone is financially burdened, if you can't come along and open up your wallet and pour money into their lap, you lift one another up by pointing them to the cross. Because upon that cross, the Savior of the world was lifted up. And if you're in Him, then you also are lifted up, glorified in Him. And yeah, sure, the world seems to be getting worse. It's not really, but I understand the idea. But the world was no worse than the day that it murdered the Lord of life. Yet even on that dark day, even on the day of ultimate cruelty, murdering the only perfect man to ever exist, the light of the Lord shined forth in the darkness of this world, that through His death we might find life. Through His resurrection we find promise of the same. Through the light of Christ, the darkness is forced to retreat. And for this, for all of the gifts that God gives to us, we give Him thanks in prayer and praise and supplication, letting all of our requests be known to Him. And our God will supply then every need of yours unto everlasting life, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.